Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
We're going to talk about the law of receiving. The law of receiving. Remember what I said this past Sunday, that we as Christians have been delivered from the law of Moses. The Bible says, for the righteous, there is the end of the law. But for those who are not righteous, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, the law still is valid for people who are not born again, for people who have not made Jesus the Lord of their lives. But we don't want to get that confused with the laws that govern society. You're free from the law of Moses, but you're not free from the law of breaking a law in society. We're free from the law of Moses, but we're not free from the laws that govern the spirit realm, the spiritual world. We're free from the law of Moses, but we're not free from the law of gravity. you follow what I'm saying? That distinction has to be made. So we're not talking about being under the law of Moses where, you know, it's what you do first that determines what Jesus has done. Jesus has already done it. He said it is finished. And as far as redemption and righteousness, forgiveness of sins concerned, that's a done deal. But then there are still principles and laws that govern things. There's the law of faith, and which is also the law of God. And what people do sometimes when they say, you know, well, we're under grace, you don't have to work. Well, we're not talking about doing works to earn what grace has given you. But there is a difference between the works of the law, where you're trying to work to try to finish what's already finished, you know, you're trying to work to get righteous when Jesus has already made you righteous, versus the walk of faith and the works of faith. You see, now, if you doubt this, then what are we going to do with praying? Stop praying? Because you're under grace? What are you going to do? Stop confessing the word because you're under grace? You stop meditating the word because you're under grace? You stop reading the word because you're under grace? That's not what that means. Because what happens is there are laws. Seed time and harvest is a law. Calling those things that be not as though they were is a law. It is a principle, just and works like gravity. Like there are laws that govern gravity, we'd have never learned about the law of lift that gave us flight if we didn't know about the law of gravity. Gravity still exists. Gravity existed during the time of Moses, and it existed under this covenant of grace right now. You see, under the law of Moses, you can jump out of a tree and fall straight down. You know, you can do the same thing under the covenant of grace. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have to make the distinction. And there will be people that will come around and, you know, they'll make everything. Well, you know, that's the flesh. No, there are spiritual principles that govern life. Now, one of those principles I want to talk about tonight is the law of receiving. Please listen very carefully. The entire kingdom of God depends on God's word. The entire kingdom of God depends on God's word, just like the entire system of farming depends on seed. So likewise, the entire kingdom of God depends on God's word. Now, I will say this tonight, that without a shadow of a doubt, this is the most important message that I'll ever preach before in my life, because without this, everything else is just not going to be in its proper place. And you'll see what I'm saying as we get started. So let's look at the laws that govern receiving. In other words, Jesus has already done what he's done, right? What is the law that governs receiving? He's healed you. What are the laws that govern receiving that healing? He's delivered you. Someone says, well, you just cop and squat and just wait. Well, there's just a lot. There's too much going on in the world for somebody to just say that to you. because the enemy wants to rob you of focus. And the way he can distract one vision is by giving you two visions. All he has to do is just try to stop you from focusing. I mean, Jesus, I'm sure it was something to try to heal of sickness and disease. But I tell you what, it was probably as difficult to heal of a sick mindset and sick thinking, okay? So let's get into this and look at this. This is really, really, really good. I enjoy it every time I get a chance to teach it. Verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, what was Jesus doing according to the scripture? He was teaching the word. He was teaching the word. Have you noticed as you begin to look through the scripture, you find Jesus just doing what? Teaching the word. I'm telling you, there's a reason for that. Jesus was teaching the word. And he's doing the same thing here, teaching the word. Don't ever forget what I just told you, that the entire kingdom of God depends on God's word. So any Christian that thinks that now that I'm under grace, I don't need to get in the word, you are sadly, sadly mistaken, because everything in the kingdom depends on the word of God. Verse 2. He says, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Now, this word doctrine, of course, it means teaching, but it's used a little different here. It means all of the different teachings all come back to this one, okay? And he taught them the many parables comes back to this one doctrine. And he'll clarify that a little bit more. Verse 3. And then he says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. So he's going to use this parable here, but we're going to get something a little interesting. We're going to get in on the conversation he had with the disciples as he begins to define all of this parable. So he gives this parable that, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Verse 4, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now, what you're about to see is four different types of ground. The sower is sowing into four different types of ground. Verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, what he sowed fell by the wayside. So that means it wasn't sown deep, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. So here you see the sower sowing, but there was no harvest because it was devoured. Verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Now, there's a difference when you sow a seed deep in the ground versus when you sow it in the shallow ground. The energy for growth when it's sown in shallow ground goes into the maturity and the growth of everything above the ground. But when a seed is sown deep in the ground, all of the energy goes into establishing the root first before it's seen, and then it comes up above ground. So here they fell on stony ground, and it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Again, the second time they sowed, but notice it's the ground. The ground's the problem. The ground's the problem. All right, verse 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered. So now here's the problem. When that seed is not sown deep enough and is sown shallow, the root system is not strong enough, then the sun will kill it, because the root system's not strong enough, and it'll scorch it and kill it. All right, next verse, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So notice, so far, we've got three different types of grounds, right? The sower sowed in, but so far, there is no harvest. Now, Jesus is talking this parable and begin to tell us to go to the next verse here. And so notice he says, and the other fell on good ground. Everybody say good ground. Good ground. And on good ground, it did yield fruit that sprang up, and it increased, and it brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, what we've got to do tonight is make a distinction between those three grounds and good ground. we got to make a distinction between those three grounds, because we don't want to get involved in those three grounds. We want good ground. Everybody say good ground. See, from the perspective of a farmer, the soil is probably just as important as the seed. And if the soil and the way it's put in the soil is not correct, then it won't yield any fruit. And every farmer is interested in getting some harvest, okay? Now look at verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he's talking about hearing with your spiritual ears. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. So they were away from these folks. Jesus was teaching. Remember, he was teaching on the ship. They're away from them. The disciples were obviously there. They heard the parable. Jesus taught by parable. And when they were alone, they wanted to ask him about the parable. Verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad that God's not trying to keep secrets? Okay? But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So God is not trying to keep stuff from us. God is trying to keep stuff for us. Think on that now. He's not trying to keep stuff from us. He's trying to keep stuff for us. There's certain things that men who are not born again will never come to understand. There are things that he's kept for us that he wants us to understand. And I tell you what, child of God, I can no longer sit back and allow God's way of doing things, which is so much greater than the world's way of doing things, to just be put aside and watch you struggle and sweat when he's got an awesome way of operating that he's kept for us, from the world for us. Glory be to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he wants to give us the advantage.
He wants to give us the advantage.
All right. Now, watch verse 12. That seeing they may see, he says, I'm going to teach everybody in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. You can see that, right? He's talking pictures, and they can see it, but they don't really get the root of it. It's kind of like, yeah, you understand a farmer putting stuff in the ground. You understand all the stuff I just said. He said, but they seeing it, they don't perceive it or understand it. And hearing it, they hear, but they don't have any understanding, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now look at verse 13. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? That's a powerful statement, powerful and radical. Basically, what did he just say? If you don't know this parable, how then will you know all parables? So he says that all parables are connected to this one. All parables that Jesus ever shared are connected to this one. Understand this one, you understand all of them. I referred to this in times past as the grandfather parable of them all. It's this one right here, all right? Now, verse 14, let's get started. The sower soweth the word. So now this is awesome here. He is saying that what the sower is sowing is the word. So now he's going to use this analogy of farming to show you spiritually what he's talking about. The sower soweth the word. The word, the word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word. If we obtain this grace by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, can't you see how you will be limited in taking what grace has made if you're not getting the word? Getting the word is a vital piece to this law of receiving, getting the word. The sower soweth the word, getting the word. Now, from this point on, we're going to read a scripture, and then I'm gonna give a commentary on each of them, and this will be good for you. All right, verse 15, the sower soweth the word. Now, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, let's establish something right quick. The seed equals the word of God. So the seed that the sower is sowing, the seed equals the word of God, and make a reference to the word of God. And the ground equals people's hearts. The seed equals the word of God, and the ground equals people's hearts. So what I want to show you real quick is that there are four types or conditions of hearts that are represented in this parable. Four types of conditions or grounds or hearts, because the ground represents the people's hearts. Now, you saw the four different grounds when we first started. Grounds equal hearts. So let's look at the four types of hearts that a person can have to receive the seed of the Word of God. And then I want to remind you, we'll go see it. The Bible says that the seed of the Word of God is incorruptible seed, which means that it will always produce. It will never fail. So if the seed never fails, if the seed of God's Word never fails, then what do you call it when you get no harvest? There's a problem with the ground. There's a problem with the ground. The seed is incorruptible. It never fails. So there's a problem with the heart, the condition. It's a problem with the ground. And so in verse 15, you would just read there that, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So the first type of ground, one that has no desire towards God's word. The first type of ground or the first type of heart is the one that has no desire towards God's word. The word never gets inside of the heart, but it just lays on the surface where it's easily stolen away by the devil. So that's the people that come to church, but they really have no desire towards God's word. You know, I'd rather hear the preacher holler, all that stuff, but there's no word going in. Now, you may say, well, what's the problem with that? Coming to church and, you know, yeah, I'm sitting here and hearing the word, but it's just kind of, you know, lays on the surface of my life. What's the problem here? Well, flip over, hold your place there in Mark. Flip over to Matthew 13 and 19. Here's the real issue here now where the word is concerned. Here's the issue that I've been trying for over 30 years to try to convince people of: get the word. And in order for anything I'm talking about, the laws of provisions, that's not going to work until your heart is the right ground. Because real provision and prosperity comes as a result of the word that's put on the inside of your heart. Now look at verse 19. Look at Matthew 13, 19. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, watch this, and understandeth it not. Now that's what kind of ground this is. You're hearing the word, but understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So verse 19 just described what we just read in verse 15 when he talked about wayside ground. He said wayside ground is a guy that hears the word, but he doesn't understand the word. He hears it, but he doesn't understand the word. So understanding is the first step to getting the word down on the inside of us. Without understanding, Satan has complete access to steal the truths of God's word from us. So if you don't understand the word, it can be stolen. If you don't understand, see, here's the deal. Here's why I cannot afford to come here and just talk and you not understand. This is why I'm so passionate when I get up here to teach the word, because I know if you don't understand, Satan can take away, because that's wayside, okay? That's wayside. That is seed. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You were sitting there while I was preaching, but there was no understanding. And that's why our motto here is, in all thy getting, get what? Get understanding. So we can get rid of that ground. Now, I want you to think about something. You think about the number of people who have gone to church all their lives and have no understanding. Those are, so the problem is the ground. no matter what happens in their life, I can teach them on the laws of receiving, but until they correct their heart and get understanding, then that seed will never be planted deep enough to produce anything in their life. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to Mark 4:15-16. Let's read that. Got to get the understanding. Have to get the understanding of the Word of God. That's why it's so dangerous for the preacher to get up, just be running his mouth and just to preach to just to get a response. I'm telling you, this is where we are right now today. It's like people do not care about whether you understand it or not. I still care if you understand it or not. In fact, if for some reason somebody came and prophesied and said, the Lord said, there is no need for man to understand it, I just might as well quit and resign. There's no purpose for me within the body of Christ if that's not the key. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of wired this way. It's hard for me to sit in church and listen and don't understand. Now, I'll try. I'll give it about 45 minutes. And then after that, I close my Bible. I'll get more understanding by praying in the Holy Ghost silently until they finish. Because in all you're getting, get understanding. I don't want to have to hear something and it's wayside. Now, look at verse 15 and 16 again. And these are they by the wayside. So you know what that means. These are they who don't have understanding where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts, because he cannot take it away if you understand it. If you don't understand it, he can take it away. Verse 16, and these are they likewise. Now here's the second heart. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they received it with gladness. Now watch this, verse 17. They receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. Okay, so the problem is now they heard the word. Man, they were rejoicing over it. I mean, they were inspired, but they had no root in themselves. And so it endured but for a time. So afterwards, what he did is Satan released affliction and persecution, which arise for the word's sake. Immediately they were off-ended, or that was the end of that process. So they were excited about hearing it, but the problem was they had no root. So now here's the second condition here. One where a person understands the word, all right, so they understand the word here, and was excited about it, but that person didn't take time to get God's word rooted inside of them. So now watch this. Now here's the second ground. You understand the word, you got excited about it, but you didn't spend no time with it. There's no time with it. There's no meditation time with it. There's no private time with it. You're not spending time with it in prayer alone. The word needs to be rooted on the inside. So understanding will cause the word to germinate, or it'll begin to grow and develop. So when you understand the word in your heart, it'll begin to grow. It will begin to develop. But without a good root system, it can't produce fruit. It can't produce fruit. And so you've got to understand that my understanding, it takes the word in, but it's shallow. And so the energy is produced, is going to be used to produce everything above ground, okay? Because you're not spending enough time to get any roots developed in your life. The closest illustration I can think of, my mom used to take a piece of flour. She'd go to a friend's house and, oh, that's a nice piece of flour. Can I have a piece of it and take a little piece off the branch? And she would go and she would take that little stem and stick it in a glass of water, a jar of water, and for us it was over our windowsill in the kitchen, and would just leave it there. And I could never figure it out. It just stayed there. And you know what? Before long, you look in that glass and out of it, root is beginning to develop, because it is staying there and a root is developed. And that's the same thing that happens with us as Christians when we stay in that word and we get along with that word and we meditate in that word and we make it a part of our confession. Okay, what happens is we're staying with what we understand long enough to give it chance to be rooted in our heart. See, the whole purpose in God teaching the word and getting the word is so the sower can sow the word of God and it get in our heart and develop root, because the objective is to produce some fruit in your life. Somebody says, well, what about grace? See, I don't want you to get that mixed up. I'm already the righteousness of God. And as the righteousness of God, I want to execute the law of receiving to receive what has already been done. See, Jesus has already done it, and it's finished. You ain't received it, though. That's the issue. It's not been manifested in your life. The promises are to be inherited, but there are laws that govern receiving. And so I get a hold of a promise, and I meditate on that promise, and I speak it out loud, and I read it, and I may have it a part of my daily confession. And I'm not doing it to try to make Jesus do something. I'm doing it so I can be rooted in this, so that when rough time come, it won't be able to steal nothing from me, because this is mine, it is rooted in my heart, you couldn't change it no matter what happened. Are you understand what I'm saying? All right, so in this situation here, it's about being established in and rooted in the Word. Somebody say, an established heart.
An established heart.
Say it again, an established heart.
An established heart.
And when your heart is established on that, things that happen in life won't move that. Tribulation and persecution won't move that. And notice what he says. In this verse, he says, they have no root in themselves, and without any root, it only stays for a time, just like any seed that's planted and it's not planted deep enough, you know, it'll just develop on that above ground. The sun will scorch it. It'll end up dying. It won't produce fruit. He says, but, you know, afterwards, here's what they're going to use. Affliction and persecution will arise for the work's sake. So the enemy knows that you're not rooted in it. He knows just for a moment you're shouting, screaming, running around, testifying, telling people how awesome church was today, and it was good and it was great. And the devil just crosses his legs and just waits until Tuesday come. He waits until Tuesday come when baby needs a pair of shoes and look, you got a light bill due. And then what happens is now you're faced with the opposite of what you were excited about, what you have scripture for, what you were convinced on Sunday that, yes, amen, I believe that. And now there's this persecution that's arising because you don't have no root in what you believed on Sunday. And now it's Tuesday and Wednesday, and all of a sudden, the very contradiction in the persecution and the very contradiction in the affliction is now being used as a tool to just take that word out of you completely. And what happens is you heard it and you understood it. And you got excited about it, and you were convinced over it, but you didn't have no root. And the persecution robbed it until somebody's got to remind you of what you heard Sunday, because you absolutely let it all go. You let it all go, all right? And so seed planted in shallow soil grows above ground. Seed that's planted in, or word of God that's planted in shallow soil grows above ground. Shallow meaning it doesn't have a root, okay? And so what happens, it'll grow faster. Actually, that seed grows faster. It doesn't have a root, but it'll grow faster. All of a sudden, you're thinking, you know, the other guy's wasting his time. Yours is growing real fast, and you're seeing growth real fast, but it don't have anywhere else to grow but up because the root's not deep enough to do anything, okay? And but the seed planted in deep soil, the seed that's planted in deep soil will all of its activity will be done underground where nobody can see it. And this is what Joshua 1:8 is talking about. Meditate in the word day and night so you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Meditate the word, mutter the word, consider that word, roll that word over and over and over again. What are you doing? Meditating the word is how you develop that root. It's how you won't allow affliction and persecution to take it out of you before it can produce the fruit in your life. It's you saying, I'm going to meditate in this word every day, preparing for that evil day, preparing for the affliction. And when the affliction comes, it's still on the inside of you because you've been rolling around in your mind. You've been pondering over it. You've been spending time with it. And that's why it's so popular. You don't hear a lot about meditating the word anymore. But that's important. That's going to be the difference between people who are fruitful and people who are fruitless. Now, I can hear somebody come and say, well, you know, the grace of God wants us to all be fruitful. Absolutely. But boy, you sure better understand these laws that govern you receiving all that Jesus has done. Okay? Now, I might have a problem with a few grace people, but I'm telling you, folks, I've been doing an experiment. It's been lasting for 5 years, and I'm almost through with it. And boy, when I finish with it, you can't talk to me. You can't tell me nothing. Okay? Because, I mean, I don't walk through this thing, and it hadn't been real easy to walk through it. But I'm telling you, thank God for what the blood has already done. I approach the throne of God as someone who receives that. I approach the throne of God as someone that believes that. But then now I obtain that by my faith. I have access to it by my faith. And so I'm going to get involved in the laws that govern receiving. There's the Word of God. Listen, if it wasn't that important, why was Jesus teaching the Word all the time? Why was he teaching it all the time? Why does he admonish us to begin to go and to preach the world and preach the gospel in all the world? The gospel of grace. But that doesn't mean, see, what some people did is they got an understanding of grace and threw everything else away. That's not, threw your praise away, threw your prayer away. I mean, I looked at my outline this morning, and I'm like, when did we start praying 30 minutes? I said, we used to pray an hour. What happened? And I said, put that hour back in there. Put that out back in there. There are laws that govern things. I'm not making God do something when I pray. I'm just spending time pondering, and this is for me. I'm getting it on the inside of my heart so that this won't steal it. Like I tell you, all the devil gonna do is show up. If you got one vision, he'll just give you two. His objective is to get you to lose focus or to spend more time focusing on the persecution and the affliction, that you don't have no time focus on the very word that's going to produce the fruit in your life. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. The third ground, go to verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, and these are they which are sown among thorns. Now they hear the word, verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, it choked the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So now, here's this ground, and I want to say it to you like this. We only have so much attention. We only have so much attention. In other words, you need to focus on the word and not on all these other things. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. Now, if you don't understand how important focusing is, and here's the thing that I see amongst most Christians, they don't have focus. They come to church, and we know how to do church, but do you know how to do focus when church is over with? See, we go home, and we go into a world, we go into persecution, we go into affliction, we go to the cares of the world, we go through all these issues that are going on in our life, we go home with the bills, we go home in the relationships, we go home with all of that. And after the day's over with, you have spent most of your day focused in on all of those things, and you have given your attention to all of those things. And the word that desperately needs your attention so that it can establish the root on the inside of your heart so it can produce fruitfulness in your life doesn't get it. It doesn't get it. The laws of receiving work. I've used them over and over and over again. And when things didn't manifest and I checked myself, it's because my focus has been on, most of the time, the work of the ministry instead of, you know, the Word of God, the promises of God, my relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, just examine your life. And you can do this tomorrow when you wake up at the end of the day. Keep up with how much time you're focused. Oh, that's works. No, we're distracted, ladies and gentlemen. We're distracted by so many things in this world. We're distracted by all, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of noise going on in this world that didn't used to be in this world. And you have to find a way to get your focus on the right stuff. So, let's go to this next one here, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Everybody say good ground.
Good ground.
They hear the word, they receive it, they bring forth fruit. They hear it, they receive it, which means they understand it. And if they brought forth fruit, they allowed it to develop root, because you can't have fruit without root. And then he said, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. It depends on how they did this process. Now, what made this good ground? I need to let us know how to make sure we, in our heart, the ground is the heart. We need to know how to have good ground for the Word of God. Well, what made it good ground? Did it have more than the other types of ground? Did this good ground have, did it require more than the other types of ground in order to be good ground? The answer to that is no. In fact, it had less. It had less weeds. It had fewer rocks to drain the nutrients. So for our hearts to be good ground, it doesn't take more. It takes less. Less occupation with the things of the world and more focus on the Lord. See, a heart that has more stuff in it, that's the reason why it wasn't able to produce. A heart that has less stuff in it is the heart that's going to produce. So if you want to look at your heart to see if it's good ground, I'm going to show you in a minute, the best way to get out of a storm is to make sure you got peace on the inside. Now, listen to me now. Now, this is where our grace teaching stuff comes in at. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. A heart with less than all those other grounds. Not more. Less care. Less worry. Less stress. In this series, I'm going to be talking about soul prosperity. Because if soul prosperity isn't right, all of the laws won't work until this gets right. Because whatever's up here is going to eventually get down here. You follow what I'm saying? And the biggest part of our soul is our emotions. Self-doubt, condemnation, stress, all those different things I'm going to be teaching on because I really want you to get it. But I wanted to make sure I had the gospel of grace down to the point so that I could make sure I can tie these things in. But it's all about focus, man. People that understand God's grace are focused on Jesus. I mean, that's what holiness is all about. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you following what I'm saying? So what's your heart look like? You've got to get, there's too much clutter in there to grow anything. You know, talking about the cares of the world, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. I tell you what, you're going to have to learn how to be a duck and let the water come off your back like it's a duck. Because what you got to do is look at certain things and say, I am not going to let that mess with my heart, my fruitfulness. I'm going to be fruitful. This is not messing with my fruitfulness. I'm not going to do it. And you got to learn how to step away. You got to learn how to step away. As I was focusing on this, I woke up early this morning. I looked at it, came up here for a couple of hours, went back. I felt like I didn't want to talk on the telephone. I didn't want to see anybody. I wanted to be by myself so that I can investigate any clutter in my heart. Let me tell you something. As soon as you remove clutter, it's almost removing the thing that's blocking the transmission. You know how when the storm comes, it messes with your satellite? Same thing happens between you and God, man. You get so in a storm, your satellite freezes up and things don't work like they need to work. So it's important that you understand your heart has to have less, not more. It takes less, not more. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. So if the heart condition is right, you don't have to worry about the seed, 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible seed by the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we were born again by the Word of God, and he refers to the Word of God as incorruptible seed. What is incorruptible seed? It is seed that it won't ever fail. It is seed that will always produce. So if you have seed that will never fail, all you need in order to be fruitful is ground that will be able to take care of that incorruptible seed. So it's never the word. Well, the word says this, but it didn't happen. Check your soil and see what's going on with your soil. Now, it's not the word that is the variable, but rather the condition of the heart or the soil that is receiving that word. So fruitfulness is all about having less in your heart. Look at verse 21, very interesting. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be put on a candlestick? So the answer is no, right? What he's saying is, so likewise, God didn't give you the word to be fruitless. Just like he didn't, you know, you don't put a candle on a candlestick and hide it under the bed. He doesn't give you the word of God, put it in your heart for you to be fruitless. That's not God's will. Let me show you this. This is a scripture, John 15, 16. God did not give us the word so you can be fruitless. God wants you to have results and to be fruitful and to carry the fruit of the Spirit, all those things. Verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should what? Remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So he said, I did not. He said, a candle is not bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and it's not to be set on a, it's to be set on a candlestick. And so likewise, the word of God was not given to you to be fruitless. It was given to you so you can be fruitful. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that should that it should come to abroad. Say out loud, no secrets with God.
No secrets with God.
So here it is again. God says, I want to reveal some things to you. But if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So he's talking about spiritually listen, because he's going to share some things with you that the world's not going to get. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. This is important. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So the way we respond to what God speaks to us will determine how much more we will get. So how are you responding with what God is saying to you? Because what he says is, if you're not responding to what he's saying to you, then he's not going to say nothing else to you. It's just not going to happen. I mean, think about it. The scripture is very clear. Take heed to what you hear. With what measure you meet, it's going to be determined on you. If you are taking heed and hearkening to what God is telling you to do, he says he's going to tell you more. But if not, you're not going to get more. You're not going to get more. You may find yourself in darkness trying to figure things out because it's like he told you what to do already. A lot of times when I find myself in a rut, I just sit back and think about, has God said something to me that I hadn't responded to? Was there something? And often it'll be, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago God told me that I hadn't done anything about that. I had a day like that this morning. I mean, I got up immediately, went to the office. He spoke to me earlier this morning, said to take these things and to speak over and to speak to the mountain and handle it. And I mean, when I did it, it's just something just went free in me. Well, I'm expecting more things to come because I responded that way to that revelation that he gave to me. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so, verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. People will lose revelation if they don't use them. If they don't use revelation, I mean, I don't know what people's idea of God is that, you know, well, he is merciful and he's full of grace. But I tell you what, I'm talking to people who are ready for breakthrough in their life. Listen, there is a way that you can, this is just what's been on me for the last month. The supernatural is real. There's something out there that I hadn't walked in and I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. It's more, and you have to pursue it. And I don't want to, I'm just not satisfied with being just an average Joe. I don't want to get to heaven and find, you know, you could have handled that. Or that could have turned out a little differently there. Lord, show me how to move in the supernatural. And I know that most of this requires learning how to rest. Learning how to rest in what he's already done, trust. But all of that is focus. You can't rest if you're not focused on God's word. I guarantee you. You talking about you want to get spirit. Oh, I'm going to rest in the Lord. If you're not focused on God's word, you know how difficult that is? If you're focused more on your problems, then you're trying to rest focus on the wrong stuff? Uh-uh. Yeah, I'm going to rest, and that's a labor of rest, I remind you sometimes, because the labor is to bring my attention away from the stuff that's trying to stop me from resting. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is nothing that God cannot reverse and do in your life, but I just believe it's time to pursue the supernatural. And I think it's locked up in this word. It's the word that's incorruptible seed. It always works. Get your heart or your soul right. Plant it deep. And stuff's going to happen. Now, he talks to us about time here now. And this is so very important. I'm so glad they included this here. In verse 26, he says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man. Now, he says, kingdom of God works just like this, as if a man should cast seed into the ground or casting a word into your heart. Okay? And so now he warns us here. In verse 26, seed is the word, and the ground right there is the world. So he's talking about, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground or in the world, and then he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. So in other words, he says, don't you be frustrated about the seed. It know how to do what it's supposed to do. Sow it and rest. Sow it and chill. Notice what he says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. He says, first the blade gonna come, then the ear gonna come, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately you have to go ahead and take that harvest up. Now here's what he's saying here. He's saying the issue, you should not be focusing in on when the fruit gonna come. Leave it alone. Your issue should be keep the seed in the ground. Don't take the seed up. There's no such thing as a harvest that you can get from a part-time seed. You hear what I'm saying? Part-time seed meaning it's in 2 days and now you took it up the next day and it's in. No, leave. Imagine what, if in the natural, if you were to do that. In the natural, if you take a natural seed, sow it, and then come pick it up, and sow again, you're destroying that seed's ability to be established. Once you plant something in your heart, leave it there. Leave it there, and don't worry about it. It will do the job. Your job is to keep the soil where the seed can do what it does. You ain't never got to worry about if the seed gonna do what it does. So if you're a believer for healing and you sow healing in there, Jesus has already made it available. These are the laws that govern receiving. He's already made it available by his grace. These are the laws that can receive the healing that grace has made available. And so you're focused on peace, man. You're focused on the joy of knowing that it will come, the joy of knowing it's incorruptible seed. Look at all the stuff you know. All the things you know, you meditate on all those things. Why? To keep your heart so it can do what it need to be done. And listen, it's probably not going to come the next week. It might not be the next month, 6, 7 years. You got to stay with it because whenever it shows up is the promise that it was going to show up. But you're never going to know it if you keep taking it up. Well, I done tried that for a year. It ain't happened yet, so God must not want me to have it. Ain't no telling what could have shown up in your life. Ain't no telling what you could have been walking in. See, a lot of times, you're not ready for stuff. If God could do everything he wanted to do, you think you're ready for it. You are not. Yes, I am. All right. The seed knows when to come up.
Yes, sir.
I said the seed knows when to come up.
Amen.
I said the seed knows when to come up.
Yes,
isn't that true in the natural? The seed knows when to come up. All you do is go out every day and see if it's there. The seed knows when to come out the ground. The seed knows when it's rooted. The seed knows when it's grounded. The seed knows when to come up. The seed knows when to come up, praise the Lord. The seed knows when to come up. You just keep rocking, man. You just keep going. God ain't let you down. He knows what needs to happen. He'll take care of you. You're under grace and mercy. The seed knows when to come up. The seed knows when to come up, praise the Lord. It knows when to come up. Amen. Here's what I see in these scriptures. It takes time, number one. Number two, keep it in the ground. The word takes time. Number two, keep the word in the ground of your heart. And number three, you can't get a harvest from a part-time seed. Okay? And then look at verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Our hearts, our ground, will release power. Release the power of the word. Our hearts, our ground, our hearts, our hearts, our hearts, our hearts will release it. When your heart is just right, man, that's why God weighs everything based on the heart. He weighs the heart of a man. What's going on in your heart, man? What's happening in your heart? Boy, that's a serious thing right there. What's happening? Because really, to be honest with you, only you and God know what's going on in your heart. What's going on in your heart? Are you still carrying strife? Man, I tell you what, that's choking that thing, man. What's going on in your heart? Are you still carrying self-doubt? Just don't think you can do anything. Don't think you'll ever be successful. You're not agreeing with what grace has made available for you. What's going on in your heart? Jesus has already finished stuff so you can recognize who you are and what you have, and it's got to be received in your heart. What's going on in your heart, man? Are you still depressed, stressed, rejected? What's going on in your heart? Your heart. He's weighing the heart. What's happening with your heart? The seed is weighing the heart. What's going on with your heart, man? I don't know. Maybe I stumbled across it, but I'm just, you know, I just like, nah, I don't think I'm going to let this bother me no more. I don't think I'm going to let that reporter bother me no more. I ain't talking to him. And they can say what they want to say. I don't think I'm going to let that problem bother me anymore. I don't think I'm going to let them finances bother me anymore. You know, it's God's church. If he want to pay for it, you know, he'll have to do it. Now, and God calls me, he says, yeah, but I can't do it if the church ain't giving. Not you. If the church as a whole is not sowing into widows and homeless and building people up. See, you'll have what you say, but you also have what you sow. See, that's a part of responding to what has already been done. But I just, I don't know. It's, I don't think I'm gonna let that bother me no more. And it seems like the more peace I secure in my heart, the more harvest I see in my life.
Amen.
And the thing that what are you gonna do? That's what Scripture's trying to tell you. He calls you prideful when you carry the care. He says you're not gonna grow one bit carrying worry. There is nothing beneficial that can happen when your heart is cluttered with all the wrong stuff, trying to stop and prevent what you already know to come to pass. Now, so he goes on here and he says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, and with what comparison? He says, it's just like a grain of mustard seed. That's a really small seed. I've seen a mustard seed. It is very, very small. Which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and it becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth out of great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. No matter how small that seed is, he says, if you can put it in right ground, it'll outgrow a lot of stuff. Put it in right ground. And with much such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. So now what was he speaking to them? Say it, the word. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So this is not the only thing, you know, what we just went over. He expounded all things to his disciples. I mean, broke it down, made it plain. Now look what happens in verse 35. It's now examination time. It's test time. And the same day. Now, why did he say the same day? What was happening that same day? He was teaching them about the word and ground, about seed and ground, about word and heart. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, let us drown. He didn't say, let us die. He didn't say, let us not make it. Did he? What did he say? Let us go to the other side. That was the word, right? That was the word, right? Let us go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the back part of the ship asleep, not in no cabin. He was wet, floating. It was an open boat. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That question alone showed you everything they believed about what he said. What was Jesus doing? Jesus said, I've given you the word. I've taught you all day. I'm going to sleep. You can handle this. I've given you whatever you need. I'm going to sleep. You can handle this. And they get up, and as soon as a storm comes, they ask this stupid question of unbelief, don't you care about us? That is the wrong response. What they should have said was, to the storm, we are going to the other side. And the wind would blow more. We are going to the other side. They should have had a level of peace. In fact, some of them should have been sleeping with Jesus. But they didn't get it. Just like a whole lot of church folks don't get it. Come to church, get the word, you good. So whatever happens, you can handle it. What do? You take the word and you keep the word. Well, the doctor saw some more cancer. With his stripes, I am healed. All is well with me. But I can't say that after seeing the thing. God dog it, you don't get it. You think what you see is more powerful than that word. Everything has to have seed in this physical world. You being here was from a seed. What you eat is from a seed. Your meat is from a seed. Everything you got on this planet is from a seed. Life on this planet is dependent on seed. So likewise, life in the kingdom is totally dependent on the Word of God. It's totally dependent on the Word of God and what you do with it. So they called on Jesus. He arose. He who invented the wind, I'm sure, he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, now this caught my attention, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, you can't release peace if you ain't got peace. You can't release peace if you don't have peace. At least in every situation that comes up in your life, have you some peace within just in case you need to use it out. You can only release what you got. If you ain't got it, you can't release it. They certainly could not have said, peace, be still. In other words, he said, peace, and with that peace, be still. When's the last time you spoke peace over something that was going on in your life? Probably in a long time, because most likely whatever was going on in your life robbed you of peace from the inside. Yeah. This is how we got to start living. As Christian people, we've got to maintain peace in this word, in this incorruptible seed. And that peace keeps our heart. And I don't know, I can't explain to you how these things happen. All I know is when you just stop worrying about it and quit stressing over it, you get more results than you have ever seen. You know, most of us just operate by panic. Panic is groundless fear. There's not even a reason for you to be in fear. Nothing's happened except in your head. Oh my God, they sent a note saying they're gonna turn my lights off. Well, it's 6 o'clock now, they close. At least you ought to have peace from that point on throughout the night. Oh God, teach us how to maintain peace inside so we can use it as a weapon for whatever's going on the outside. Think of that child of God walking around with a weapon called peace. And whatever needs to be still in your life because you got peace, you look at that thing and say, peace. I sense you have some peace right now. Say, peace.
Peace.
Peace in your marriage. Peace where your children are concerned. Peace in your finances. Peace on your job. Peace on the business. Somebody says, my house ain't sold. Well, have you spoke to it? Have you told it to be sold? That's a spiritual law. You'll have what you say. Well, I ain't said nothing. Well, you have what you say. I remember reading something years ago, Charles Capps wrote, and I was trying to sell my house, and I said, oh my gosh, it hadn't sold. I went over there and stood in front of that house. I don't know who was watching me out the window, but I had a conversation with that house. I said, you listen to me. Somebody desires you. Somebody's looking for you, and somebody's in love with you. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to be sold right now in the name of Jesus. I turned on a law of you can have what you say. I went on vacation a month after that, went on vacation. Somebody called me, the real estate lady, and said, somebody want to buy your house. I said, well, they said, no, it was a cash offer. I said, well, let's talk. A lot of times that's what God will remind you. If you ask him, he'll tell you the truth. Lord, give me wisdom. What am I missing in this? Well, son, didn't I say, if you say unto a mountain, be thou removed, and have no doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say? That's called authority, man. That's called authority. That ain't the works of the flesh. That's called spiritual authority that you're finally turning on and you're executing and you're using the authority and executing laws that are literally walking in the authority that Jesus Christ gave you to walk in, and you get an understanding of grace and just go numb. Well, I don't wake that authority up on the inside of you. You're carriers of the word. Guard your heart, for out of it comes the forces of life. I think the King James says the issues of life comes out of a man's heart, praise the Lord. And when you spend time in this word, you're not just reading it like you would a novel. You're reading this like every word is possessed with power. Ha. Hallelujah. Power in every word. And that word goes in your heart. And sometimes I close my eyes and just picture that word like blood just flowing in my spirit and just is filling my cup up. And my very emotions are being impacted by that word. And all is well. And that's where that peace, you can maintain that peace. You can maintain that peace. It's a powerful thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a powerful thing. And so the wind stopped, verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have faith? So fear comes in. And the fear comes in because you didn't believe the promise. The greatest fear that people can have is a fear that what God promised won't come to pass. Now, I used to think that faith was the opposite of fear, but it's not. Love is. Because love is what, you know, casts out fear. And when we begin to operate in fear, what it is you don't believe that he loves you. You won't receive the love he has for you, so you don't believe what he said. So fear comes in, and it stops you from receiving. Now, let me finish up. I'm having a good time with this. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And what Jesus was trying to say, all day I taught you what manner of man I am. And if you would have believed it, it would have obeyed you too. How is it that fear has filled your heart when I spent all day giving you the word? That same day giving you the word, how is it that fear has filled your heart? This is the law of receiving. Everything Jesus has made available can be received. You take the promise of what has already been made available. You put it in your heart, your ears. Hear yourself saying it. Hallelujah. Get it in there. Remove all of the clutter. Let it grow, man. It will be fruitful, and it knows when to come up. It will be fruitful, and it knows when to come up. It's time to dominate this system, man, this world. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. And I told God, whatever you instruct me to teach on, and I'll do it. And I'm not teaching on something, this will be good, this will get them shouting. I ain't trying to do that. You shout on your own time. I want to make sure you get the truth, and the truth will make you free. You get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Would you lift your hands up and give God thanks for it? Father, we thank you for this understanding. We not only hear it, we understand it, but we will spend time with it. We hear it, we understand it, and we'll spend time with it. We'll pull it up, we'll listen to it over and over again. We'll study these scriptures, we'll read it over and over again until we get an explosive revelation of it, Lord. It is your will for us to receive all that grace is made available. Thank you for these principles of receiving. We walk in it now, and we give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.